Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Mavi Bolaños in San Francisco. A new state legislative committee focused on fentanyl and opioid addiction is holding its first meeting today in Sacramento. KQED's Sarah Hosseini has more.
Alameda County Public Defender Brendan Woods is among the witnesses set to address the committee. He's calling for improved access to addiction prevention, treatment, and recovery support systems, not increased penalties.
We've gone down this road before when it comes to the war on drugs, and it's made no communities, no individuals, no one safer. All it has done is incarcerated Black and brown people and robbed communities of their most precious resource, human beings.
The committee, led by San Francisco Assemblymember Matt Haney, seeks to address the growing overdose crisis. For the California Report, I'm Sarah Hosseini.
State regulators have given Los Angeles County 2 months to move hundreds of young people out of two juvenile halls which have been declared unsuitable. The Board of State and Community Corrections voted unanimously yesterday to close the Barry J., Nydorf, and Central Juvenile Halls. Allison Ganter is deputy director of the board.
Both facilities continue to deal with call-outs, overtime, inability to provide increased staffing for high-risk youth, and are unable to get youth regularly to programs, recreation, outside for exercise, and to school either on time or at all.
Regulators pointed to numerous problems with the facilities, including severe understaffing. And recent inspections found both were out of compliance with state standards. Earlier this month, an 18-year-old died in his room from an apparent overdose at the Nydorf Juvenile Hall. County officials unsuccessfully asked the board to delay the decision, arguing that plans are already underway to overhaul its juvenile detention system. But board members said the plan was too little, too late. The juveniles will be moved to a previously closed facility, while some youth who have been accused of more serious and violent crimes will remain at Nydorf in its secure youth track facility. The city of Los Angeles decided this year to turn one of its methane gas plants into a hydrogen plant. It's part of the city's ambitious goal to run on 100% renewable energy by 2035. And while it might sound great, it's actually a controversial move. KCRW's Kaylee Wells reports.
The Scattergood Power Plant is a testament to LA's adaptation. The oldest units in the middle of the plant were built in the 50s and take 12 hours to fully turn on. The units behind it were built in 2015. They're cleaner, and they turn on in 10 minutes. Decades ago, it used to run all the time. But these days, with so much energy coming from solar and wind, the plant's usually not turned on at all. Jason Rondeau is the director of power system planning at LADWP.
Over the course of the year, we use it about 20 or 30% of the time, more often than not during the summer. In the future, we estimate that we'll probably use it between 1 and 5% of the time, meaning it's rarely used, but when it's used, it's needed.
Scattergood is mainly used for backup. In an emergency like a major heat wave, a wildfire, or an earthquake, we need something that can turn on with the flip of a switch. Right now, natural gas does that. But now the plant is adapting again to get the city completely off fossil fuels.
Based on what we know today, the way to provide that renewable emergency backup power is with green hydrogen.
The plan is pretty simple. Instead of heating up methane gas to create electricity, as it has done for the past 70 years, the plant will heat up hydrogen. Louis Ting is LADWP's director of power system engineering.
Combustion is just like any combustion as far as hydrogen goes, but we got to remember that hydrogen doesn't have any carbon in it. So that's the beauty of it.
The other beauty of it, this is green hydrogen, meaning the hydrogen is created by clean sources like wind and solar energy. But carbon-free doesn't mean it's completely safe for people living nearby. Alex Jassett is part of a group called Physicians for Social Responsibility, which is all about protecting the public from environmental harm.
What we're concerned about is the combustion of hydrogen, because that's where sort of the NOx emissions come from. It's where a lot of the explosion and risks come from. It's where the pipelines come from.
Even if burning hydrogen gas doesn't warm the planet like methane does, it creates nitrogen oxides, or NOx, better known as one of the notorious ingredients in smog. Rondeau says LEDWP plants make up about 1% of NOx emissions here. By 2035, they estimate it'll be 0.1%.
That's very different from the airport across the street where, the jets coming in and out have uncontrolled NOx.
Another big concern? Leaky pipes. Tiny molecules can fit through smaller leaks, and hydrogen explosions can make bigger booms. Ting with LEDWP agrees that it's a risk, but we've been using hydrogen for decades. We've gotten good at minimizing that risk.
I don't think Toyota will be producing hydrogen vehicles if that is an issue.
Those Toyotas Ting's talking about use a hydrogen fuel cell instead of combusting hydrogen. It doesn't emit smog. It only emits water. Here's Jasset again.
And we asked, would it be possible for some of the plants, for example, to be fuel cells rather than combustion?
LADWP's counterargument to that one is pretty simple. They don't have that kind of space. And getting funding for a combustion plant is just easier right now.
As long as there's the opportunities, like the federal funding for hydrogen, that's where the technology is going to be. And now it's going to be pushed forward because of this current funding.
And that's why in February, the LA City Council unanimously approved spending $800 million to turn this hole in the ground into a hydrogen-burning unit here at Scattergood. The city's hoping to complete phase one of the project by 2029. Once the hydrogen is online, the plant will keep burning gas, but the end goal is eventually to burn hydrogen entirely and use 100% renewable energy by 2035. For the California Report, I'm Kaylee Wells in Los Angeles.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, May 24th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Maddie Bolaños. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Stanford Medicine, comprising its School of Medicine and adult and children's health systems, working together to advance knowledge and improve lives. StanfordMedicine.org. Paint Care. Now, with more than 850 drop-off sites in California, where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy includes 11th Hour Racing, working to connect sustainability with sport to help restore ocean health, on the web at 11thhourracing.org.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.